So this morning, I'd like to talk about, I'd like to make a word study, and let me see if this is going to work. Let's see. Can you see that? Oh, it's backwards, but.
Yep, got it. No, we got it. 52 Hebrew words.
Okay, so that's a Christmas present I got from Chico and Lorna, and it's called the 52 Hebrew words that every Christian should know. It's by a man named Dave Adamson, who I assume is a Christian Jew, who, from the writings, I kind of think that, but, and no, I didn't give him a Christmas present, but maybe this will help make up for it. I'm going to take one of the words in the, of the 52 and do a word study this morning. And I'm going to read just one paragraph that he said, though. It says, some of the words mentioned in this book have multiple meanings. Many Hebrew words do. And while I only provide one of the definitions in this book, there may be others, as I'm going to bring out a couple others. But you see, Hebrew words typically come from a root word made up of three letters. And each of the three letters has a root meaning. This leads to Hebrew words having multiple meanings, of which I may choose just one for explanation here. So the word that I'm going to use this morning is on page 100, called shakan, shakan, to dwell. This is one of the 52 words. Now I'm off of Pal Talk again. On my computer anyway, but,
no, you're still okay. You're
going. Assume I'm still on patch through with you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the word shakan, sheen, kuf, and nun are the three Hebrew letters. Now I don't pretend to be a Hebrew scholar by any stretch of the imagination. You know, one semester of modern Hebrew maketh not an expert. And I get a kick out of all of these people say who say experts agree or you know. you always wonder who these experts are. But in any case, this occurs 135 times. And you don't really need to be a Hebrew or a Greek scholar to study the Bible, because we've got so many tools to work with. For example, Strong's Concordance, I'm sure you're all familiar with. That's where you look up the English word in the King James Bible. But in, there's also a Hebrew concordance. And I'm pretty sure Ron sells this. Englishman's Hebrew and Calvi Concordance. If you can see that. And there's also a Greek concordance where every single word in the Greek Bible is listed. Let me see if I can do this one. That's the, and pretty sure Ron sells that one. So basically, those are great tools. Every single, in the Hebrew Old Testament, every single word is listed in different parts of speech. And you know, if you want to do word studies, those are good tools to use. You know, along with interlinears, you know, you're all familiar with interlinears. There's a good one. There's good ones for Hebrew, the Hebrew also. But, you know, I'll start this where he started. He quoted John 1:14, where it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what the word shakan means, to dwell. Also means reside, abide, continue, remain, and we'll read one verse here where he actually says to set, to, you know, like to place something, but before the end of the day, I'm hoping you'll have a good idea of what that word shakan means though. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt. This is obviously not the word shakan. And I did look for, if you do a word study and you can find a verse that's quoted in the New Testament from the Old Testament, you can use those exact, now you know you have an exact equivalent of words. You know, like in Ephesians it says the first commandment of promise, honor thy father and thy mother. You can use any of those words as, you know, direct meaning the exact same thing, but, and that helps. But I couldn't find one in this case, but this is close enough. The Word dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, speaking of Christ, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, he dwelt among us, and this was, look, John is looking back after his death where he now, there's no need to dwell on earthly places. He now dwells within our heart. And that's the example that Dave Adamson used. Also in Jeremiah chapter 3, and the word dwell is not here either, but I want to read this. It's Jeremiah 3:16 through 18. Where it says, and it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is where God dwelt with man in the Old Testament, between, you know, on the mercy seat, between the cherubim. And Jeremiah is looking forward to that 1,000-year reign, the millennial kingdom. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, showing how that these people will be revived. It won't be the modern Jews who are going to be part of that kingdom. Those people are in the same position that we are today, the modern Jews. They have a better hope than what they used to have. Now they have a heavenly hope if they would study it out. But it says the Ark of, they will no longer say the Ark of the Covenant because it's no longer needed. He will dwell in their hearts. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered into it to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. What a great thing that is. Unity. And he speaks of unity between us, the church, the members of his body. He, on many times he talks about us collectively of how he's dwelling with us. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. Okay, so that's a little bit of an introduction. The Ark of the Covenant is also not mentioned in Ezekiel, you know, where he describes the temple. There's no need for the temple. Christ will be in their midst. And there's nothing more to speak to man about through the Ark. Okay, this comes later. Okay, then the first one we have here, let's see. Oh, yeah, I'm going to turn back two pages from John 1:14, just to end this little introduction here. We're in Luke 23:44-46. Says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Let's see, is that the word? Let's see. Hold on. Nope. I beg your pardon. That was chapter 24. chapter 23 of Luke, verse 44 says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth," and then it says, "the land," not the earth, "the land of Israel." It's literally GE, where we get geology, "until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain." So when he died, the temple and access through that was no longer a thing. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said this, he gave up the ghost." So that's when we had access to him through in our hearts. We have him in our hearts today. So I think this was a good little book, that this gentleman wrote. But the first time we see dwell, the shakan, the Hebrew word shakan, in the Old Testament is Exodus 29. I got to do what I read once. When you're a public speaking, put marbles in your mouth. Maybe not literally, but so that you can slow down. Because maybe you see the point perfectly, but the people you're talking to haven't yet grasped it. So I'm going to try to slow down here. Exodus 29. 42 through 46. "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto you." So for over 500 years before the temple, Solomon's temple was built, they met in a tent. A tabernacle, also it's called. So that's where he was to meet with them through, the Ark of the Covenant. "Where I will meet you to speak there unto thee." Verse 43, "And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell, shakan, among the children of Israel and will be their God." Verse 46, "And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may shakan among them. I am the Lord, their God." So that kind of gives you a idea of the word. And I've got 10 or 12 here. I'm going to try not to go over today. Numbers 24, 2 through 6. Numbers 24. 1 through 6. Sorry there. Who's doing this for me, Chico? Let's see. "And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding," shakan. "And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel, shakan, in his tents, according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, 'Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, and he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty.'" And he's speaking of himself. He saw this and falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. He was like in a trance, but yet his eyes were open when Balaam saw this. He says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. So tabernacles is where he dwelt with them. As the valleys are they spread forth as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of a line, aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. So here's all of these tents in perfect rows, and must have been a beautiful sight. And we'll see in a minute here a little bit more about that, how they were perfectly, almost like an orchard in perfect rows. And we could have a comparison with that in Ephesians 2:6, where it says, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And literally, that means God raised us up. He raised us up together, and he seated us together as a group, as a whole, just as we saw in the Old Testament. And it's a similarity. I'm not saying, we can use that other than for comparison purposes. But let's see. Then I want to go back to Numbers chapter 2. And in verses 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own tent, his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And that word, and that in the ESV, says, let's see, where did I write that? Facing the tent. Let's see. I thought I wrote that down, but basically they were, all of these tents were facing the tabernacle, looking towards a tabernacle. So, but they were in, each tribe had his own position around that. And it was in perfect order. So that's what we can see in the word, is perfect order everywhere. Okay, then in Numbers 5, verses 1 to 3, we have another occurrence of the word Shalkan. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female, shall ye put out. Without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps, in the midst whereof I dwell, in the midst of whereof I shall come. And we have a comparison there in Ephesians 5:25, where it says, looks like he's going to get it up before I get to it. Ephesians 5:25, and I'm going to read through verse 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So here we also have a comparison of his dwelling with, the Jews in the Old Testament. Then in Numbers 35, Numbers 35, 33 and 34. It says, in verse 33, ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood defileth the land. The life is in the blood, and when you spilt blood on the land, you defiled it. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell. For I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. And if I can shut my cat up, we see that, for I, the Lord, shall come among the children of Israel. So here we have the idea of the land, where I dwell in the land. And likewise, we're going to see how that he dwells in us as a temple, you know, in this dispensation that we live in. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 12, his name's Bandit, by the way. Okay, Deuteronomy 12, I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. It says, for ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance. And here's Deuteronomy is written toward the end of the 40-year wilderness. And what we read in Numbers was toward the beginning of it, at the very beginning of the 40 years. But he says, ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when within a couple of years, they were about to cross the Jordan and enter the land. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. And the Dome of the Rock is actually where the temple was eventually set up in David's time, but for those hundreds of years, it rested in Shiloh, and in a tent. The ark rested in a tent. Shall choose his name to Shachan there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows, which ye vow unto the Lord. All of those things point to Christ, that we see in Hebrews, he has fulfilled all those things, and they're no longer necessary, including the Lord's Supper. That's an earthly thing, and it's something that's, I was raised believing in a church that it was still for today, but we're complete in Christ, and we're in the heavenly places, and we're to look on things above, not on things on the earth. So these are things that Christ fulfilled. But there we have one more example of that word. And there was actually no mention also of the Ark of the Covenant in the Second Temple, as we're going to see in a minute. In Ezra and Nehemiah, though, where, you know, the history of the Second Temple being built was, we have the Urim and the Thummim. And that's where the priests would inquire to Jehovah, you know, for judgment, you know, on specific cases. But the Ark of the Covenant evidently had either been destroyed when the first temple was destroyed, or it was no longer needed. God had already said everything he needed to say to the nation of Israel at that point. And Nor was there any evidence of the Shekinah glory that filled the temple and when Solomon's was first completed. So I'm not going to read those verses in Nehemiah, but let's see. But yeah, I just wanted to comment on that, you know, and we're going to, in a minute, I think I've got another verse on that. Okay. Let's go to 1 Samuel 7, 1. 1 Samuel 7, 1. And it says, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. We actually read that in the last lesson in Daniel. But now let's go down and I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them. This is David. He talked to Nathan and said, I want to build the temple. When Nathan came back to him, he said, no, you're a man of war. Solomon is a man of peace, of rest. And it's through your son and your lineage that that will happen. And will plant them that they may dwell, Shakon, in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and when thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Speaking, so that's a promise to David, that your seed line and Christ came through his seed line. So we can see that that could never be disrupted. But again, that's that they may shakan in a place of their own. And that would be Solomon's temple. Next is 2 Chronicles 17:9. No, wait. It's actually 1 Chronicles. I get in trouble the way I make notes. 1 Chronicles 17:9. And it's the same thing. This is the same occurrence there with Nathan. And I will ordain a place for my people Israel and will plant them and they shall dwell in their place and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. So even now, as we're in a spiritual warfare, that's a comparison for us also. The children of wickedness waste them anymore. They will dwell in perfect harmony and peace at that point. And that's something we have to look forward to also, after these days on earth that he's set up for us. He set certain things for us all to do. And he's created them. He's created these works for all of us to do. Then in 1 Chronicles 23, first I'll read verse 1 so you'll get the context. It says, so when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. Now I'm going to read verses 24 through 26 of chapter 23. And in this chapter, is where it lists out all of the names of the Levites that had been set up under David. David had set up when he left, Israel was in a pretty good state when he died. These were the sons of Levi after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers as they were counted by number of names by their posts that did the work for the service of the house of the Lord from the age 20 and upward, For David said, the Lord God of Israel hath given rest unto his people, that they may shakan in Jerusalem forever. And also unto the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it, for service therein. And where it says forever, that's the word olam, meaning, you know, unto an age. It forever doesn't, the King James uses the word forever. Olam is till the end of that age. You know, forever is not always forever in the Bible once you look at the words themselves. Now, in, also, you know, the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, those all speak of the kingdom. It says, blessed are the meek in 5:5, for they shall inherit the earth or the land. So even at that point, when Christ was on earth, this was a continuation of that kingdom. But in Nehemiah 1:8 and 9, we have an example. And here Nehemiah is praying to the Lord. And look what he says. He says, remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest. And that's not a bad thing for us to, you know, he was a righteous man. So we can use Nehemiah as an example. When we pray, we can quote scripture, and we're not reminding him of anything, but as Nehemiah says, remember, you know, like, say if you're in a forlorn state or something, remember, Lord, you said in your word that if I can come to you, you know, if I'm heavy laden and you'll give me rest, you know, or, you know, just one example there, but, you know, we can use that example that Nehemiah set down here. Then it says, thy servant Moses saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, they had been in Babylon for 70 years. And this was 20 years after that. Yet I will gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set. That's an interesting use of the word shakan. I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. So, and maybe you could reword that and say, the place, that I chose, for my name to dwell. But here in the King James, he uses to set. So you can look at different verses like that and get different ideas. Proverbs 1:20. I'll read verse 21st to get a little context. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. And as we know, Christ is wisdom personified. And in verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me, that is wisdom, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil, shall dwell safely. And then also Proverbs 8, chapter 8, or what's called the wisdom chapter, in verse 12, says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And we see also in Ephesians 1:8, in Ephesians 1:8, he uses those two words in the same sentence and says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And that word prudence here, is used in Luke also, 1:17, where it actually has a real close meaning to wisdom also. But we can see a comparison here today also with us. He hath abounded toward us, collectively, the church. Then in, okay, now one more for the Old Testament is Zechariah 2:10. And it looks like I didn't put a tab there. But Zechariah and Haggai were written during the Ezra-Nehemiah period. And this was specifically in the second year of Darius, and as you know, in the sixth year of Darius, the second temple was completed. So this was 4 years before that. But in Zechariah 2:10 and 11, it says, that's Zephaniah. Okay. Zechariah 2:10 and 11. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. So this was 4 years before the second temple was built. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. So, let's see. Okay. That's good. I'm going to close now in Ephesians. We'll first turn to Ephesians 3:16-19. Where it says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And the inner man is a creation. The new man, that's a creation, part of a creation. That Christ may dwell. Now, and again, this is not the exact word. I think this is the exact Greek word is here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So again, this is plural, to dwell in your hearts. So this speaks of the unity of the Spirit, and it behooves us to get along, so to speak, with each other and love each other and, you know, consider what each one has to say and speak the truth in love and so forth. And finally, I'll close with Ephesians 2:18-22, where it speaks of us collectively as him as our head, and we're a temple. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So there's no need for an earthly temple. It's all spirit. It's a spiritual temple, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So he inhabits, he dwells in us. So what a pleasant thing and a great thing that we share together in that regard. And with that, I'll close in a word of prayer. Thank you again for this day, Lord, and for this word that you have given us to show us about yourself and your loving kindness toward us. Thank you for sending your son that we might have life and for giving us this great hope in the heavenly places. And we pray that you'll go with each one as we depart and bless, keep your hand on each one and bless them. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.